Chapter 4. Becky Thatcher. When Tom reached the schoolhouse, he rushed in and hung his hat on a peg. The schoolmaster stood.
"Thomas Sawyer," said Mr. Dobbins.
Tom knew that when his name was said in full, it meant trouble.
"Sir?"
"Why are you late again?"
Tom was about to lie when he noticed the new girl. The only empty chair for punishment was beside her.
"I stopped to talk to Huckleberry Finn."
The room fell silent. The children wondered if Tom had lost his mind. Everyone knew they were forbidden to talk to Huck.
"Thomas Sawyer, this is unacceptable." The schoolmaster reached for a switch. "Take off your jacket."
After his arm grew tired, the schoolmaster ordered Tom to sit with the girls. This was his punishment. This was exactly what Tom had wanted. He sat down on the bench and pretended to study his books. He stole glances at the new girl. When she caught his eye, he slid a peach in front of her. She slid it back. Tom scribbled on his slate.
"Please take it, I got more."
Tom drew several pictures on his slate and tried to show the new girl. At first she pretended not to notice, but in the end she couldn't help but look.
"I wish I could draw," she said shyly.
"I'll teach you at lunch," said Tom. "What's your name?"
"Becky Thatcher. What's yours?"
Then she laughed.
"I know. It's Thomas Sawyer."
"It's only Thomas when I'm bad. Tom when I'm good. Call me Tom."
Tom wrote "I love you" on his slate and showed Becky. Her cheeks turned red.
"You're a bad thing, aren't you?"
Just then the schoolmaster grabbed Tom's ear and used it to move Tom's seat. Tom didn't feel the pain or hear the giggles from the class. He was in love. When school broke at noon, Tom flew to Becky and whispered in her ear,
"Put on your bonnet and let on like you're going home. When you get to the corner, give the rest of them the slip and come back."
So Tom went off with one group while Becky went off with another. In a little while, the two met at the bottom of the lane. When they reached the little school, they had it all to themselves. They sat together with the slate between them. Tom gave Becky the pencil and held her hand in his. Together they drew a house. When the interest in the slate ended, Tom started talking.
"Do you like rats?"
"Rats? I hate them," said Becky. "I like gum."
"I wish I had some gum now," said Tom.
Becky took the gum out of her mouth and gave Tom a piece of it. They sat chewing and dangled their legs over the bench.
"Were you ever at the circus?" asked Tom. "I want to be a clown and make money. I heard you make $1 a day.
"Yes, I've been to the circus. If I'm good, my pa's going to take me again," Becky answered.
Then Tom said,
"Say, Becky, have you ever been engaged to be married?"
"No."
"Would you like to be?" asked Tom.
"I reckon so. What's it like?" Becky asked.
"Like?" asked Tom.
"Why, it ain't like anything else. You just tell a boy you won't have anyone but him. Then he tells you he won't have anyone but you."
"That sounds nice," said Becky, blushing.
"And it means you kiss and tell each other you love each other," Tom continued.
"Do you remember what I wrote on the slate?"
"Now you tell me."
Becky resisted for a while.
"You turn your face away, Tom, so you can't see."
After a few minutes, Becky did tell Tom she loved him, and they kissed.
"Now you can't marry anyone but me. We'll walk to school together and choose each other at parties."
"It sounds nice," said Becky.
"It is nice," said Tom. "When me and Amy Lawrence..."
Becky cried out,
"I ain't the first you ever been engaged to."
Tom tried to put his arm around Becky's neck. She pushed him away. She refused to look at him and went on crying.
"Becky, I don't care for nobody but you."
No reply, only sobs. So Tom took out his greatest treasure, a brass doorknob, and offered it to her. She took his doorknob and threw it on the ground. Tom's mood was grim as he marched away. He wandered far into the forest and lost sight of the schoolhouse.
"What did I do wrong?" he wondered.
If only he could die temporarily. Boy, Becky would be sad then. Before long, Tom heard the distant sound of a trumpet. It was Joe Harper. He had come to play.
"Hold," said Tom. "Who has come into Sherwood Forest without my permission?"
"Who's there?" asked Joe. Tom told Joe he had to talk like the book. The boys spent the afternoon acting out scenes from Robin Hood. Before they returned home, both boys had come to an agreement. They'd rather be outlaws for a year in Sherwood Forest than President of the United States forever.